When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh yeah, it's half hour power. 30 minutes of rapid fire unscreened calls here on the Best Show Post Show. It's not the half hour power without this guy wearing his Masses Tavern shirt tonight, available at apmike.bandcamp.com. It's AP Mike. What's up, Mike?
How's it going, guys? We're still talking, right?
Oh, yeah, completely. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. No, there was never love lost.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How did it feel out there, Mike? Did it get a little tense?
Yeah, there were a couple. Yeah, I felt some pinches in the back.
What was the one that got you where you were like, oh.
Mike is mean.
Uh-huh. Mike is mean.
I don't see myself as a mean person.
Hold on. So you don't see yourself? I don't see you as a mean person either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who wrote that.
Oh, okay, well, Jason's not sure who wrote that, and Mike's certainly not sure who wrote it, so.
Okay.
Well, my voice sucks, so.
Yeah. That one hurt, Jason?
That one hurt deeply, mm-hmm. Yeah.
When someone said your voice sucks.
I can't turn it off. This is what God gave me.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Pat, how did it feel out there with the airing of the grievances?
It felt great, actually. I think we got a lot done.
All right. Someone liked it. Someone just had a great time with it.
Yeah. I will say we're closer now.
Okay.
Maybe once and once.
United against me?
I'm not saying that.
Oh, great. That's what it's going to be. You guys are going to be united front. There's going to be a we need to talk to you, and then it's going to be the three of you sitting on one side of a table and me on the other side.
Sharing one chair.
A suggestion box outside your door.
Oh, yeah.
Should you start referring to this night as the night of the knives?
Look, I want to get along with everybody here. Uh-huh. In my life, all I want is to get along with my friends and people in my life. Anybody who I'm not getting along with, I'll sort it out with you in a second. Mm-hmm. Could talk it out. I don't care if I'm 99% to blame for all of it. I'll figure it out. I'll own it. It's in not talking that it's always the bummer. People don't talk. And we have a special guest for the half hour power tonight. We have Roxy from Los Angeles. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Talk a little bit louder.
Yeah. Oh, I'm well, thank you. How are you?
There you go. I'm good. Off to the races here on the Half Hour of Power. Half Hour of Power, you're on with AP Mike Dudio, Pat Byrne, and Roxy. What's up?
Hi, this is Jamie from Washington, D.C. How are all of you?
How's it going?
Hello, Jamie.
Hey.
What's going on tonight?
Earlier you were saying that you didn't really have a David Bowie, so to speak, but I think that judging by you're on a whole album that's coming out in June, Steven Universe soundtrack album.
That's right. Comes out in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and you also recorded for a video game, I think. I was wondering how
is
that
was.
Is this
guy following you?
Are you my agent?
Okay. Yeah.
What video game did I do?
Banjo and Kazooie.
Steven Universe game. Wait, what game?
Banjo and Kazooie?
What is that?
That was an old Nintendo game.
I thought it was just Banjo.
Yeah, I played that.
I like to think they're two people.
Oh, okay.
But I think you're correct.
Yeah. Save the Light. I actually, got into the show through.
Sure. No, I did. I did. I'm on the Steven Universe video game, which comes out, I guess, in maybe September, something like that.
Hmm.
Right? I think later this year it comes out.
Is that called Save the Light, or is there another? Okay.
It is.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that one is.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So was it, like, weird recording for a video game compared to, like, what you've done for, like, TV stuff?
Well.
Sorry, I'm
nervous. This is for the, I appreciate it. What's your name? Steven? No, what's your
Jamie.
Name? Steven's the
Jamie.
Guy on the show.
Yeah.
Sorry. It was a little different in the way that it's a game, and it's kind of the moments are standalone moments that all add up to making the game playable, but it's not like a linear story in terms of what was required of me, the way like a usual episode recording goes.
Is the director ever like, now pretend you're holding a controller?
Now do this grunt. Now do that grunt.
Well, I do that stuff anyway, where they'll just be like, you got hit, you got thrown, something got dropped. You know, like, it's like, that's the nature of the thing with the Steven Universe, is there's a physicality to the stuff I have to do sometimes. It's that.
Right.
So, the game's a little different than that. It's more individual moments add up to the recording thing for the whole, for what the game will be. It should be fun. I heard it was fun. That's what I had heard. The game was fun to play.
All right, that sounds great. It sounded like there were a lot of other callers wanting to get on the line. Dave from Knoxville was saying in the chat that he wanted to get through or something.
Who else? Who's on line three?
All right, so I'm probably just going to go to bed and
it's a great call.
Let them
Jamie.
Get through.
I appreciate
all right,
it.
Thanks.
You take care.
All right.
Good night, Jamie.
You too.
Half Hour Power, you're on with me, AP Mike Dudio, Pat Byrne, and Roxy.
What up?
Hi, everybody. This is Brian in the Bronx. Sorry, I'm a dude.
What up?
It's all right, Brian.
No, you don't. Yeah, it's fine.
What's up, Brian?
Not too much. This is my first time calling. I've been listening to the show for a long time. I love it. I love the Half Hour Power. I just wanted to call and see if you had heard... I don't want to cause any inter-podcast rivalries or beef, and I know you're friends with this guy, but I wonder if you heard John Hodgman also has a Patti Smith story?
No.
Well, basically, what happened was he was at some conference, and, you know, he had some time to kill. He was talking to some friend of his and said, oh, yeah, I know some thrift store nearby. We can go hang out there. And the friend says, oh, I'm with someone. Do you mind if I bring them? Turns out it's Patti Smith. So they all go to this thrift store, and John Hodgman's, like, all nervous about it because, you know, he's intimidated. And basically it goes the exact opposite way that the Humble Pie story goes because, you know, they're at the thrift store for a while, and then Patti Smith just goes outside and starts sitting on a chair and, like, staring off into the distance, not talking to anyone. And so John Hodgman feels really, you know, like, oh, maybe she's bored. Like, should I offer to bring her back or whatever? And he goes and talks and asks her if she wants to go back. And she just says, no, I'm just sitting. And so he says that Patti Smith is the most content not being spoken to or speaking to anyone out of anyone that he's ever met in his entire life.
Okay. Well, look. It happens, I guess.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
who's,
no.
Who's Patti Smith? Who's Patti Smith's story you take? You got one to tell. Whose are you telling?
Sorry?
You got one Patti Smith story to tell to win over an audience. Whose do you tell?
Well, he just told the Hodgman one.
No, he told me the Hodgman.
I have a Patti Smith story.
Well, hold on.
Oh, my God.
I do, too.
First of all, Dudio's zinging me. Give me the business. It's fair enough. He's very
If I had one to tell, I would definitely tell yours. Cause I definitely relate to that a lot more.
So,
falling on my face.
I will say, first of all, it was very funny, Jason, that you said,
Well, he just told the other story.
That was Thank you. Thank you.
So, Mike?
Yeah.
Let's hear this Patti Smith story.
I was working on Hudson Street, New York, and I'd go to the CD store. What was it called? Disco Mart? Did you ever go to that? It's on, I don't even know the street. Anyway, I was coming from there, walked over to 6th Avenue, and I saw Patti Smith right in front of me. And I made a mental note. I said mentally, oh, there's Patti Smith. And I kept walking. That's it. You know,
that's
you,
it?
You pass people on the street in New York.
That's not a story.
No, it is true.
And I even have a Spike Lee story, strangely enough.
You walked by him and said, no. Oh, there's Spike Lee.
I was in the Coliseum bookstore. Mm-hmm. And on the other side of the display, I saw Spike Lee. I said, oh, check it out. Spike Lee. Mentally, I said this to him.
Sure.
I didn't say a word to him. He's browsing. I don't want to interrupt him.
Bother.
That's the New York style. You know, you don't approach people. You
roll
know?
With it.
Yeah, yeah, it's like.
You got to learn that eventually.
Al Pacino, I passed him up.
Mm-hmm.
He was, when I was at school,
mm-hmm.
they were filming Author. I never saw the movie.
Sure, classic movie.
And I kind of did a double take. I passed him, and then I looked around. I was like, oh, that's Al Pacino. Actually, I saw Al Pacino twice. I was working in another building one time, and he was doing a play, and he'd come in through our building, and I saw him going through the building one time.
Mm-hmm.
Never said a word to any of these people.
I'm with you. So you're zinging me for this.
No, no. You had special circumstances. You were in an elevator. That's different.
Yeah.
You know, and it's almost private.
Psychological
yeah.
free fall.
It's kind of a private space. You know, semi-private anyway.
That I went on to say something to her.
Mm-hmm.
Look, my father heard that 2 weeks before.
Uh-huh.
Nothing was making sense.
Oh, man.
So I go in the elevator, I'm just like, this doesn't make sense.
Uh-huh.
I was like, boom! So.
I have one too.
Oh, well, first of all, hold on.
Except Jason. Jason's out
no,
cold.
No, I lied. I don't have one.
I just want to finish this with Mike, though.
Yeah.
So you see these people.
Yeah.
Mike, I get it too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see me bragging that I saw Ronnie Turiaf from the New York Knicks, former New York Knicks bench player, 3 weeks ago. I saw him coming out of an ATM.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Ronnie Turiaf.
I'm sure there were.
As I live and breathe, there he goes.
There were about 10 or 12 people already rushing up to say hello to him.
Sure. The press to get some FaceTime with Ronnie Turiaf, guy who probably averaged 4 points a game, and then would somehow get hurt.
Uh-huh.
Like, how's he getting hurt? He's not doing anything.
Uh-huh.
It's neither here nor there. Pat, what's your Patti Smith story?
It was 2007. It was one of the last nights CBGB's was open, and there was a swarm of people around her. She had just arrived. She was armed with an old antique camera that she was shooting pictures back at the press who were taking pictures of her. We're all in a circle around her. But nobody was asking her any questions or saying anything directly to her. And me and my camera team were there. At the time, I was working on a documentary on Seabees for my college thesis. And I was like, well, I got to ask her something. So I tried and then kind of got wishy-washy with trying to ask her my question. I was overzealous. You know, I was first excited and then was like, oh, maybe I'll sound stupid or, oh, how is this going to come out? So what I ended up saying to her was like, you know, I was trying to... Instead of just asking her a question and filming it, which would have been the easiest thing to try to do, I tried to explain, like, who I was and what we were doing, and that I was, you know, I think what I said was like, hey, Patti, exactly, it's already bad.
Hey, Patti,
I'm doing a documentary. It's for school and it's on CBGB and I know that a lot of other people are filming, but like, you know, I'm one of the good guys, and blah, blah, blah. Like,
and then
like,
she pepper sprayed you.
There were a lot of these people and whatever. And she just like, you know, and we have this footage. I have this footage of her, like, it was, hey, Patty, and her going, yeah, and turning to me. I now had her attention. And then I do that horrible spiel. And then on the video, you just see her head go, just away from me, as I'm like, but like,
do you have that digitized? Can we put that up on the site?
I have it digitized, and audio is super embarrassing. And then she cuts me off with me trying to explain that I'm good, and she cuts me off, and her response to me is just, "We're all good. Everyone here is good."
At least you didn't say you were a stalker. You're not a stalker. You're not a stalker.
Right.
I'm not a stalker. Yeah, I'm not a stalker.
I didn't make that mistake. But I think Tom, I've been wanting to say this for years. I think it's worse than your situation by a lot.
Pat, I was in an elevator going up to the room she was sleeping in. This is where she was living for 2 days. Yeah.
So essentially her home.
Her home, her temporary home.
Right.
I was violating her temporary home.
I think that's worse, Pat.
Okay. Still not great what I did.
I still think we should put
yours. Embarrassing. Yours is just embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
I still think we should put it on the website, though. So.
I do want to see this.
Yeah.
All right.
I can bring a clip to the next half hour.
Yeah.
That'd be great. So. Roxy, no Patti Smith story?
I don't have any Patti Smith
Do you have any story about embarrassing yourself in front of a famous person?
No. I don't.
No.
No.
Well.
Sorry.
Caller, young man?
Yes.
Thank you. Half Hour Power, you're on with me and AP Mike and Dudio and Pat Byrne and Roxy.
Hey, it's Ellen in Los Angeles.
Ellen?
Ellen, yeah.
In Los Angeles. What's up in Los Angeles tonight, Ellen?
Oh, nothing much. I was calling because I can't stop watching American Harmony. I saw your screening, you know, a while back, and now I know everything about the barbershop world for some reason.
Let's talk about it, though. If you watch American Harmony, who's your favorite in the movie? Let me see if I can guess.
Okay, guess.
The one you love to hate in the movie, obviously, is Jeff.
Yeah.
Jeff Oxley.
Yeah, but I love him.
But you don't like Tony either, do you?
No, actually I love Tony. I really like Tony.
You don't think Tony's a little bit of a sniveling character?
I think he has issues and he kind of... like, was overshadowed by his dad a little bit, because his dad kind of forced him into barbershop, so he has a little bit of a complex, maybe, but I don't know. I really like him. I think he's sweet, and I think his wife is super sweet, also.
Who makes you sad in the movie?
Oh, well, definitely, of course, Reveille, with Joe, and then the, you know, when the one passed with the, you know, the tumor.
Obviously, French fries.
French fries, I love you. French fries, I love you. Great thing. That's all I think about that all day. I'm, you know, I'm like supposed to be doing something really important. I'm trying to remember, and all I can think of is great thing.
But you do like, but you do find yourself wondering what it would be like to be married to OC. Times, though, right?
Oh my gosh, OC Times. So one of them is a manager of a Chick-fil-A still. I wonder, they're going to be in Las Vegas in July, and I was half wondering, like, should I go there and just see them? Because what is the deal with OC Times? I want to know if they still are hugging all the time. I want to see, like, how close the hugs are.
You got to go. I'm thinking about going to see the Dead and Company. That's what it's called, Mike? Dead and Company?
Yeah, and that's what it's called now.
You saw them.
I saw them. Actually, one of our listeners works for Madison Square Garden in some capacity. They have free tickets, so I didn't even pay for the ticket.
Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hold on a second.
Somebody got me free tickets.
How am I hearing about this tonight?
Yeah.
But these free... Wait, no. You...
I want to go see Queen.
I don't get a lot of perks, but I think...
How come I don't know about these perks? This news
it's not,
to me.
It's not a lot. It's not a lot. You know our friend. He's at the Beacon Theater. You know our friend.
Yeah, I know our friend. That's true. Okay, him?
Yeah.
No, that's fair.
Okay.
I've done things with that young man. rescinded, Mike.
Okay.
I thought you had some haunt connect.
No.
I thought you had some ticket connect.
No.
Not unlike your shrimp connect.
And it was a one-time deal.
Or your headshot connect.
Haven't had another one since.
So when they were playing, did they do Sugar Magnolia?
I don't memorize set lists. What I remember was that, you know, we had seats behind the stage, mm-hmm. which, you know, were pretty decent considering.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's kind of a tough thing for John Mayer to go into that audience mm-hmm. and sort of have to. So I went in with very low expectations
mm-hmm. yeah.
and I was like surprised. I mean, mm-hmm. I think he did a decent job, and I think that was the consensus of the fanatics, you know.
Well, I mean, it's tricky for him because he has to now try to be terrible in a completely different way. He's usually like, look, I suck in this one way.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I've got to suck with these with the Grateful Dead.
But the thing about these Grateful Dead fans, and you know, I have a sense of humor about my fandom, and is that the smell. Forget about it. Yeah,
they're dumb.
The nitpicking that goes on. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have like some time to kill, just go to dead.net mm-hmm. and then look at the comments section of anything in there, and you're going to find people. Nitpicking like
anything.
You've never seen before.
Like anything.
Talking about shipping, you know, long, you know, essays on shipping and how things were handled, and it's uh-huh. unbelievable.
Now, Ellen,
mm-hmm.
I think you have no choice but to go see OC Times. Can you maybe what if you got a couple of your friends together and you were just like road trip? Vegas road trip, OC Times style.
I'll go with you.
Roxy from Los Angeles
will
go.
I'll go with you. I live in LA.
That sounds fun. Only if we can meet them. We have to learn a few of their songs so that, you know, we can sing with them and record ourselves singing with
You've
them.
You've got to learn.
Good luck.
All in the grandstand, or in the bandstand, da-da-da-da-da. You know they call me Mr. Touchdown.
Or they call me Mr. Keen. I really like that. That was, that was the Rapscallion.
That was early.
Yeah, that was early. Early,
A young Tony was up there.
I think he paid to sing with the barbershop. See, his dad, that's his dad's influence again.
Yeah. Dad forced him into barbershop.
But he became the best, one of the best, so. But not like as good as Awesome Joe Connolly.
Now, did you, who's as good as Awesome Joe Connolly, though? When Max Q were complaining about like in that one show where they're just like, here's to the losers, here's to sick. Like, weren't you just like, oh, shut up.
Oh, it's you insufferable. Cry, baby. Oh, yeah. And then after they lose, or they become, you know, second place, and Tony, it's not going to happen for us. You know what? It just can't. It's never going to happen. It's like, all right, come on.
Give us a break.
It's
right?
The worst.
Thank you. Ellen, this is a fantastic 5-star call. Thank you so much.
All right, have a good night. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye. Half Hour Power, you're here with AP Mike and Dudio and Pat Byrne and Roxy.
Hello, how's it going?
It's going well. To whom are we speaking?
This is Ben in Portland.
What's up, Ben?
Hey, so I was Googling the new Howard the Duck movie that's set to come out. And I saw that Lars von Trier is attached as a director.
Yeah. So Lars von Trier. So they're bringing the Dogma 95 to the Marvel universe. Is that Phase 8?
If Shot in one take. One take.
Yeah,
I heard.
Yeah. I want to believe it's fake, but it's on like three different websites.
Yeah, it's look. First of all, I think you're just lying about all this. I think it's on zero website, and that's okay that you're lying. I'm not judging that. You're being a funny guy. That's okay.
No, I saw it. I you can Google it. I swear.
You swear.
I swear.
You can Google it. You can Google anything. Something. I know.
I want to believe it's a lie. I hope it's a lie.
Studio's Googling it right now. Studio's.
Well, there is. Marvel did announce an R-rated Howard the Duck movie. Apparently,
they did.
First of all,
they did. It's gonna come.
Yeah, there's no way this is real.
It's not, right?
No.
What website?
That was off of EmpireNews.net,
which is that movie magazine.
I think that's just Empire because it doesn't even look like the movie magazine.
Okay.
See, look at this. That's fake.
It seemed fake. It did seem fake.
Yeah,
it
was fake.
It was supposed to come out this summer.
So. All right, it's fake. It's fake. Don't worry, buddy. It's fake.
Don't worry. Fake comedy.
All right.
Thanks.
Yeah, there's another story that does say it's set to be directed by Lars von Trier.
That's so funny.
Okay, well. Half Hour Power, you're on with me and AP Mike and Dudio and Pat Byrne and Roxy.
Hi, this is Rob from Rochester.
How are
y'all doing?
Good.
All right.
Great.
What's up, Rob?
Awesome. I got one question for the panel. Mm-hmm. The Quincy punk rock episode or the Chips punk rock episode?
What was the question?
The Quincy punk rock episode or the Chips punk rock episode? Well, I have some strong opinions on this.
Well,
you go, Pat. You start off.
I've never seen either, but I'll say the punk, in quotes, episode of WKRP, where the punk band ended up just not even being a punk band at the end.
Wasn't there a punk episode of Quantum Leap?
Was there? I don't know. I didn't watch
that. He leapt into Sid Vicious or something?
Fuck. Where'd you read that, Empire News?
I think I did. It was on the...
Mike, do you see either of these?
No, but I think we should probably also include the hippie episode of, what was it, the Jack...
Dragnet,
yes.
Yeah, that's a good episode.
The one where the drowns in a bathtub,
and
right?
Some LSD, yeah. It's the LSD episode.
The one where he's like, marijuana's the fuse.
Yeah.
He's like, marijuana's the match.
Yeah.
LSD is, like, isn't that the one where he's just like, and then LSD is the bomb.
Yeah. I mean, I think I have seen, I didn't see the episode when it aired, but I think I did see a clip of the Quincy one. And that was pretty good. But, yeah, the Chips, I had no idea.
Two great moments from each one. The Jack Klugman speech at the end of the Quincy one, where he just wants to know why there can't be music about love and instead of hate. Right? Am I wrong on that, caller?
Yeah, that's definitely a highlight of that one.
But I would say that that it is trumped by the ending of the Chips episode where Punch does... performs for the crowd, does Kool and the Gang Celebration.
Absolutely.
Right? And I would say he wins. The Chips episode wins because he calms down the audience by doing Celebration.
And the punk band is backing him up on that song, or he's got another band?
I care. Where I got to...
Does he whisper to the band?
Like they know it. It's
amazing.
In their repertoire.
We're just going to listen.
Now, I think the punk band was arrested, but the thing is, the same kids who are tearing up the venue, spurred on by the punk band, are grooving to Celebration.
Yeah.
By the end. So it's pretty good.
It's great. Well, I'm going with the Chips one. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Now that's step cup. Hey, squirrel flow is fucked up, man. I don't care.
The punk is trapped under a motorcycle with gasoline leaking out of it.
Okay, man. Back off!
Wait, who's playing the punk? That's somebody, right? He looks familiar.
He was gonna blow himself up.
Oh, okay.
It's terrible. That's why.
Oh, this is gold, guys. Chips was one of my favorite shows growing up.
It was also one of your favorite movies from the last 2017.
Yeah. Chip happens.
Punksploitation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Punks don't wear makeup like that.
At the Chris Pine SNL after party, I saw his dad, Robert Pine, who played the sergeant on Chips. Mm-hmm. And I like walked up to him and said, I just want to say I'm a really big fan. Mm-hmm. And he looked like that completely made his night because nobody else really recognized him.
That's awesome.
At the party.
That's nice.
So, yeah, it was nice.
She comes home and she finds her daughter burning cigarette holes in her arm, shredding her clothes to bits, taking pills, and locking herself in a room listening to that violence-oriented punk rock music. You've got to see it with your own eyes to believe it, Quince. I've seen children come off that dance floor with crushed ribs and bloody faces, like soldiers fighting some kind of insane war.
What could persuade a kid to act like that?
Maybe the greatest persuader there is, music.
I have no intention of doing that.
A kid and a punk just did an uppercut, like literally just like a boxing style uppercut to another punk.
I hate you. Get out.
A punk is...
Get out!
Yelling at her mother. Yeah.
Like all punks do.
Joe! Get a job for a man!
Don't bring that if you can! Tell the judge you'll have to face the garbage like you erase her!
I want to see a show! 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 Show!
Who got us where we are today? It was your generation. Now you people have your finger on the button, ready to blow the whole joint to bits, and you're telling us to cool it?
You know, not so many years ago, there was a generation of young people who were as mad as you are about the world. Only they worked their tails off to change it. Trying to end a war they didn't believe in. Trying to correct injustices that they saw. But all you do is gripe.
Look, we have reason to believe that she's with Zach's real murderer, Molly Howard, and Molly is trying to push her into a codeine overdose. So please, if you have any information.
That's a crock, mister. You think we're all zombie killers.
You're the killers. Your whole sick society. That's who's guilty, man. We're just your lousy escape goat.
Besides, man.
Escape.
Who the hell cares? Who the hell cares?
It's punks, Mike.
Yeah.
Why would anybody want to listen to music that makes you hate when you can listen to music that makes you love?
Oh, that's true, Quince.
That is true.
That's why I said... That was that's the crowning moment of the Quincy episode, but
that's tough. I got to go with Chips though.
Chips still takes it.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the WKRP one?
I don't remember it now.
What's crazy is the whole episode. I remember they built it up like they didn't play. They didn't play what punk was at all. But it was like, oh well, this punk band's coming through, and WKRP's promoting them. This station's gonna go, you know, it's gonna go under, and blah blah blah. And all the DJs are scared and rallying, and there's all these theories about what it is. Then the band at the end of the episode, like the final payoff, is like you see what this, and they sounded like the Who or something. Like it just wasn't even. Like they all had long hair, and they were like,
that's
you know,
not punk.
It was just so.
Yeah.
No, but it wasn't even close. It was. It like wasn't even.
Now, Mike.
Yes.
You always have some sort of thing, something that your antenna is up for and picks up in the
stratosphere,
the ether.
Well, I have a little movie review. I saw Chuck today, which of course is a Bayonne-centric film that's out right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Jeff Furtzig is still. One of the writers on the movie?
Yes, it's Jeff co-wrote the script with...
It was about three other people involved. Yeah. I guess it went through some series of rewrites and stuff. But it was good. I enjoyed it. But there was one thing, you know, me, I'm sort of a stickler for details, you know, and maybe this will be something you guys can say, you know, you saw something, but then you saw like one little thing in it that just irritating you. So they have the famous incident with Chuck when he wrestled the bear.
Yes.
And, you know, I've seen little clips of that. And the bear, although, you know, a good size, was muzzled, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they show, well, for one, it's a CGI bear. You know, a CGI bear, imagine like a giant grizzly bear, unmuzzled, coming at Chuck Wepner. You know,
is this in the ring?
At a bar, which is, you know, where it was, where it happened, you know.
Because I don't know that story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Chuck Wepner, to like keep up with his kind of fame, this shoddy promoter was like, you got to keep your name out there and like book him to wrestle a bear.
So he fought a bear?
Yeah, I think he actually did it twice.
Oh, my God.
I think he did it once in Asbury Park, and then he did it in this bar, Art Stocks bar. The Royal Manor, maybe? Was it the name of the place? Anyway, there's just see this 400-pound bear charging him. No muzzle. And then they show him after the fight, and he looks fine. And it's like, how is that possible? Come on. You know, don't take us out of this gritty, realistic movie with something so bizarre. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was bizarre enough. Put a muzzle on him and show what really happened, you know?
Yeah.
So that was one little thing that I wish they hadn't done.
But overall, it was all right. Oh,
yeah, it's good. I recommend it.
There was the other thing. We were talking about this before the show started, that you mentioned the Bulgaria unit.
Well, yeah, I stayed at the inn to see if they shot anything in Bayonne, and I don't think they did. But there was a whole part of the credits where there was a Bulgaria unit, and I'm thinking, wow, they had to go to Bulgaria to get the Bayonne vibe, you know? But then I'm thinking, well, no, they probably have studios there, and they maybe shot the interiors there. Maybe it was cheaper to do it there. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they get these deals on filming overseas that are just, it's worth it to pack up everybody, even bringing all the, like, famous people over.
Mm-hmm.
It's strange.
Yeah.
If you look, you see where so much of the filming takes place now is in Atlanta.
Okay,
Atlanta's
the big
like
spot,
one of the biggest spots. I think it might be the second biggest at this point in America because like all the Marvel movies shoot in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all those movies; those are huge movies.
Yeah.
They're filming, they're building huge sets to film there, and it's
Bayonne had a they tried to get that going, and they shot. What was the HBO prison show?
Oz.
It was shot there, yeah.
Oh, I didn't
And I think that. Beautiful Mind did some stuff there.
Oh, wow.
It's
a tax break thing.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Chris Christie canned all that stuff.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, that's Chris Christie, yeah.
He dumped all the film breaks, the tax breaks.
Yeah.
What a dummy.
I went to an early showing.
Thank you. Easy. Easy.
And I, you know,
what
I thought.
This is not a political show. We try to.
I'm sorry.
I'm kidding. What a dummy. I think we all agree here.
We're on the same page there. So I went to an early showing, and I thought, you know, I was curious what the turnout would be. It was better than usual for the 11:30 a.m. showing. I went on today because they have a special. You would appreciate this, Tom. There's a special, $6 for the movie and $2.67 for a medium popcorn, right? So I ordered the popcorn deal. I said, you know, let me get that. And, you know, you need soda.
Mm-hmm.
So I get a small soda. How much do you think that's going to cost? $2.67 popcorn and a soda.
It was $5.
$6.
It was the soda was $5 plus. So
yeah.
So it was $9. And I said, oh, okay, that's how it works. It evens out.
I thought you would have done a little, you know, jacket pocket action. Reach in, little chiku in the theater.
Well, now that I know how much they're selling soda, that seems to be the way to go.
Yeah, some kids don't know they're going to be picking up a couple of Coors Light cans out the next Tuesday movie.
That's
what you get for charging $5 for a soda, you rat.
Giving me ideas.
Yeah, you're right, you rat bastards. Right? Charge $5 for soda. That's what you're going to get. Your seats are going to smell like Coors Light now. Your floor is sticky. Sticky with beer.
I'm sure that's been done before.
Oh, yeah. Like, imagine some New York movie theater, how gross. People just like those theaters, like especially the ones that used to be like, I'm not even saying like an adult theater. Mm. I'm saying like, one of like those grindhouse type theaters. Just imagine the crud that was all over the floor that had to get cleaned up. Because people were just going in those theaters and sleeping.
Yeah, I had that experience, yeah.
Just killing time.
Yeah.
And look, I've fallen asleep. I've gone to the movies. I know I saw Cop Out, the Kevin Smith movie, hoping to fall asleep. Because I was in New York and had I had two meetings and a 4-hour gap between them. And I was exhausted. So the only thing I could think was to go to the movies and try to fall asleep. But I figured out the play I'm going to make now. It's the greatest thing in the world. You get a karaoke room.
Oh, yeah.
$7 per person per hour. Right?
Yeah.
Just go. You think, I'm going to do a couple hours of songs.
Comfortable couches, yeah.
Yeah. And you just fall asleep. Mm-hmm. Program a bunch of songs. That way it's always playing music. Yeah.
Soft music.
Fall asleep.
Yeah.
Karaoke room.
AM Gold?
Yeah.
Put on some AM Gold,
right?
Yeah.
Don't put your love out on me, baby. If you do, it'll drive me crazy, right? We're there?
Yeah, we're there.
Home stretch. What do you got? apmike.bandcamp.com, of course.
People can come H&H's Pub. I'm usually working about four days during the day.
Okay.
But I'm doing a night, Sunday night.
And they can hit you up on Twitter to ask when you're going to be there exactly.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. Right. I can let them know.
Jason Gore at Sonic Dork.
At Sonic Dork. You can go to my website, jason-gore.com, and there's, show dates and random stuff on there as well.
Okay. Anything coming up immediate future?
Not really. I have a show. I'm doing a show called Monsters Exist at UCB Chelsea. That's coming up on our next show, I believe, is June 29th.
Okay.
So it's a ways down
the road, but.
Yeah.
Pat Byrne, of course, every Saturday night, Prove It All Night on WFMU.
Yes, sir.
And you've got the podcast now.
I've got the podcast now, which I've been wanting to do pretty much since I started the show, but now it's finally here. It's kind of like a greatest hits, smaller version of the show, and it happens every Thursday in iTunes. You could subscribe and all that. And also on June 11th, I'll be doing the last ever Macaulay Culkin show, Brett Davis's show at Shea Stadium. They're going to finally close that DIY space in Brooklyn. Claire O'Kane's on the show. Connor O'Malley's on the show. And I'm going to be doing a short set as well. So that's
when is that?
June 11th, Sunday night, June 11th. Be there.
All right. And Roxy, anything? You've got your yoga?
I was going to say I got nothing. But yeah, I call myself Sad Girl Yoga. Yoga for people who hate yoga and whatnot.
And people can, so that's on Twitter at Sad Girl Yoga.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter and Instagram and sadgirlyoga.com.
And you're in LA teaching classes?
I'm in Los Angeles. I don't teach at a studio, but I do private sessions and small group sessions. You can come to my house, or I can go to yours.
Mm-hmm. And you know
or
what you're doing.
Or your workspace.
Right?
Yeah, I'm a certified yoga instructor.
See?
Namaste.
Right? Go get if you're in LA and you want some yoga instruction, hit Roxy up. She'll teach you how to do it.
You don't have to be flexible to do yoga. Everybody thinks you do. You don't have to. It's all about breathing.
Okay.
Relaxing.
All right.
I'm using my yoga voice. Sorry.
Yeah, that was yoga voice.
Yes, I was
falling. You guys want a group session after this?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a great drive home.
I'll put you all to sleep.
Only if we can sing Celebration while we do it.
Wow. And of course, me. You go to patreon.com/thebestshow. You support the show that way. That's what keeps the show going. We don't do ads anymore. We do Patreon, and you get things for different support levels, and we appreciate anything anyone can do. Thank you in advance, and we will be back in a couple weeks with another half hour power, but in the meantime, enjoy this one. Thanks for listening, and bye.